Welcome to episode 97 of Photography Insights, the show that interviews people from around the photography industry. Today is a very special episode, something different to my usual interview style and focusing on a specific subject, model safety. Since I've worked with a few models and seen some of their problems, I got together with a few of them to make a special episode about it. And what follows is a discussion in a Facebook group where all members of that specifically aimed at safety for photographers and models when working with new people. It's a great resource where people can ask questions about others and get some feedback about their experiences. The group has some careful moderators involved to ensure it's not just a place to slam photographers or models. From the podcast, you will learn a little about it and why it's a really good place for us all and why it's a good place to sign up and get involved with. Today we're joined by Alex, Beth and Emily, who came forward to talk about the group, their experiences in modelling, provide you with some great advice. All the models give some insight when things can go wrong on shoots and what you should do. Each one has their experiences. It's quite eye-opening what can happen. Everyone provides some great advice for best practices that models should follow, like doing some homework on the photographer, for instance. But you also hear my side from a photographer's viewpoint too, that should help with any fears or problems. The models also pinpoint some red flags that you should consider before, during and after the shoot too. I do really want to thank Alex, Beth and Emily for taking their time out to record this. We did feel like it's something that's important to us all and want to protect you all from potential issues. And of course there are links to the model's social feeds and I do urge you to work with these fantastic ladies. They're fantastic, lovely people to work with. They have nothing but the best feedback and reviews from everybody, and they'll make your day a lot more easier and you know you're going to be safe with them, so please do check them out. Now obviously this is a very different episode. I know it's not going to be for everybody. It's something I thought about, and like I say, because I've worked with so many different models, I've always been okay, never really had any problems with any models. And then very recently I was at a group shoot with three models, three photographers, and only after this event did I realise there was a problem with a photographer. This happened very fast and it was quite worrying, the things I'd heard. One of the persons wasn't as being professional as the rest of us, but then Beth came forward, shared her experiences, and it was, you know, not the best, to be honest, from the photographer's point of view. And I can really understand why so many models are cautious. So do bear with us. The whole point of the show was not for models to come on here and slate photographers, neither was it a sounding board for them to talk about only the bad ones. You'll hear through the show, we do not mention any names. The idea of this was to keep it generic. If you want to find out about those people you shouldn't work with, then join the group. You don't need to post, you don't need to do anything. It's one of them groups so you could literally think, I want to work with this model. Put a post in there, see if... or use the search function, see if there's any comments there. And the same if you're a model searching for a photographer. Do a bit of research on there. I mean, we will talk about these things in the podcast where there's things that you can search, things like Purple Pot and the great things they can do. So I hope you find it useful. Like I say, I know this won't be listened to by everyone, but many photographers do it with models. So I hope this is of use to some of you. And of course, before I move on to the show, I always like to thank the friends of the show, which is Pete at Static Age and David at Film Dev. So for anyone who's into lovely little books and zines, then please do check out Pete at Static. And for anyone who needs their colour films developing, please do check out Film Dev. So all we need to do now is play the music and await our three lovely models. And welcome to the show, Emily, Alex, and Beth.
Hiya.
Hiya.
So I didn't present anyone in any particular order. I picked the names at random. So today, as we all know, we're talking about model safety. And we're going to quickly discover a very useful Facebook group that we're all in about model safety. And I'm going to hand you over to Alex, as she's been in the group the longest. And she'll just give you a brief synopsis of what the group's about and what she's seen. Over to you.
Hiya. Thank you for our lovely introduction. So as I was mentioning to you guys before we started recording, I've been part of Model Safety Resources on Facebook now for a number of years. And I first joined when I set out doing freelance modelling off of my own back. I never wanted to be part of a agency or anything like that. And the first thing I found about this particular Facebook page is that it's a wonderful community of people that are willing to listen and support one another through, you know, lots of different scenarios that you may come across as a freelance model or photographer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with regards to this particular podcast, we're talking about some of the nastier things that people have experienced. And during my time on this page, I've seen numerous models posting images and screenshots of, you know, conversations that they've had with potential photographers that have actually turned out to be people that, you know, hoping for something more sexually gratifying than just a simple photo shoot.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the most important thing and aspect about this Facebook page is that it's to a degree unmoderated by any bias. Lots of people post, but I've never during my time in this group experienced anybody being silenced by a moderator or anything like that. You know, everybody's experiences are open and accepted. And it really is just a fantastic community for models and photographers alike.
Yeah, I agree. I think the only times I've seen people commenting adversely is through maybe inexperience, or sometimes people put things about a certain person and they're very quick to judge. Now, and this is one thing I wanted to make sure that from a photographer's point of view, it's very easy to say or slate a photographer because he's maybe said something he shouldn't have done, or actually he could actually be impersonated by someone else. Now, I don't know if we've seen that yet in the group, have we?
If I can jump in for 2 seconds, sure. I'm one of the mods in the model safety group.
Okay.
And we've actually, there weren't many rules or anything in place until quite recently. It was a bit of a free-for-all, but we have implemented a rule now where there needs to be evidence to be able to post. We've got post approval on.
Okay.
To hopefully dodge anyone that's just doesn't like that person turning around and saying, well, you know, he said this or he did this. There's got to be something to back it up.
I think that's good. The modern wonder of screenshots makes that very easy to do. And I think as a result of the rule that the moderators have put into place about needing proof. It's certainly, as you said, you don't really see it very often these days of people just saying, oh, I don't like this person because of this, that, and the other. It's it's interesting to see everybody's opinions, especially when you see models that have worked with photographers that are being slated in the past. I know I've seen a few girls that have commented on posts saying, you know, I'm tagging a friend saying, oh, I warned you, you know, months ago I said this person was dodgy and now this girl's, you know, had this horrible experience. And I get quite frustrated with those comments because I'm sure as a moderator as well, was it Emily that was moderator, sorry?
Yeah.
Yes, Emily, I'm sure as a moderator you get quite frustrated with seeing people go, well, I said this to this person, and you think, well, that's lovely, but if you had shared your experience beforehand, perhaps this horrible experience wouldn't have happened. So I think it's incredibly important that they've now put the proof in the pudding rule in place to ensure the credibility of everybody in the group.
I do think, I will say, one of the things that I noticed was, well, it was two things. One, which was a lot more nice to see, was when I recently called someone out, and it was actually, I'd been talking to a couple of other photographers who had been in contact with models about the same photographer, and they'd been collecting screenshots from all the models to put together a really hard evidence against them, put it on the page so everyone could see it and everyone could see that there was proof to it. But one thing that, and like, there was so much overwhelming support from everyone saying like that it was fantastic, that it was encouraging other young vulnerable models to come forwards about photographers like this. But one of the other things that I did notice was that there was quite a few photographers who would comment stuff about who were sort of like in defense a bit. So it would be like, they'd say like, oh, I think you've taken this the wrong way, this is a bit extreme. Or it'd be kind of just very sort of like small defenses like that. And I think that's when you start to realize that they're the photographers that also say stuff like that, who are starting to defend themselves because they don't want to think that what they've done could be wrong. And I think that's pulled a lot out of the woodwork as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's two things here. We have to be careful on screenshotting because we're putting that on a non-public place. I mean, this, or I should say, it is a public place, but it's not public domain. It's a private enterprise, so we're sharing our data with people. So we do have to think about that when we're naming and shaming people. And the other thing I just think is, I'm glad the resource there because it gives us both protection in my eyes. I mean, there's the simple situations where we're not talking about some of the bad stuff. It's simple stuff. So I shot with Beth recently. I haven't given her any photos yet. And I know it's a massive issue between photographers and models. And I don't mind saying to people, it's going to be a while. If I've only got my film camera, it could be 2 months or 3 months before I can afford to process my shots. Normally, that's not the situation. Normally, like I would shoot a bit digital as well, so I know I can give the model something quickly. But that is, you know, the smallest amount of the conversations in the group, and I think the group is more about people being something other than photographers and tech leaders.
I think in response to something Beth said earlier about the small defences that you see in the comments section of the names and names, I think that would go back to a topic that we kind of, you know, touched on in the brief earlier, in that Beth said that these people don't want to really admit that what they've done is wrong. But also, as I said earlier, for certain photographers that take a particular shine to a model, that model may be more likely to defend that photographer because she's been treated so nicely by that photographer because they may have an end game.
Yeah.
So some models have sadly been known to jump to the defense of known troublemaker photographers that aren't what they seem, and it's only when that actual experience happens to them and their trust is broken by that photographer that they look back and they go, well, bollocks. You know, in the comments section, I said this guy was lovely and he would never do anything like that. And now here I am, foot in mouth, eating my own words.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the model safety group is so important, because we are quite a close-knit community. We do all interact with each other outside of the comments as well. And everybody's so willing to talk to each other in private messages that I think, again, it makes it a little bit harder for those people that are doing the minor defences to really justify their defences on what is becoming such a large platform. You know, it's encouraging people to think twice before they're defending people based on one or two experiences with that person.
Yeah. And I think the problem with the world, because this is a worldwide problem, it's this fake world of everything's beautiful. So a model wants to do her best to look amazing. A photographer wants to help with that. And I think somewhere in between there's confusion over boundaries. Now, most of us don't suffer with this. It's quite simple. You are here to take a picture of someone and do the best for both sides. And that's where it ends. Whether we gain friendships, that's always a bonus in my eyes. But there's never, ever anything else. But what you three have seen, heard and experienced is dreadful, isn't it?
I think, again, though, it's one of those things where people don't necessarily look at the freelance modelling photography world as a legitimate business or economy. So say photographers that aren't necessarily in it because photography is their passion and they want to, you know, make a living from it and do it because they live and breathe it. They wouldn't necessarily sit and think twice about, would I say something like this in my workplace before they say something to a model? And I think that's a really important thing. Some people become so comfortable behind the camera that they would say something without considering, well, this is the model's job. You know, she's in a position where she's expecting to be respected as though she's in her workplace.
I think you're right there. You've touched on the idea of the professionalism, definitely. So I think there's I've definitely noticed that occasionally when you get unprofessional photographers, it's because they don't view the model as a person doing their job. They're viewing the model as a pretty woman who they're photographing. And that's when they start using the word sexy or beautiful to describe her. And that's when it gets more and more sexual and unprofessional, because they're not viewing her in a professional capacity.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. I had a photographer tell me that he wouldn't lower himself to being in front of a camera for less than £1,000 a week. And I quite happily laughed at him. And I said, well, good luck to you. If you can get that pay, tell me where. Because he hasn't considered how difficult it may be to put yourself out there as a subject to be photographed, you know. Obviously a lot of skill and dedication goes into being a photographer, but very, very frequently people just will say to a model, oh, well, all you got to do is stand there and look pretty. And you think, well, as a model, no, some of the best shots require you to sit there for 2 to 5 minutes at a time holding a pose with your tummy sucked in, and, you know, breathing through your nose, but only out, you know.
Oh, yeah, my friend originally got me into modelling and I never appreciated how exhausting it was. And now you come back from shoots and you're ready for a nap. It's absolutely exhausting. It's like such tiring work and you never give it credit for it.
It's a skill, without a doubt. Because
I do agree with that.
as a photographer, I've worked with different standards of people, shall we say, and some people are just amazing, can turn it on, they can keep it for hours, and some people I work with don't even know how to pose, and they're asking the photographer, and it's really hard, because it's like, well, as a photographer, I sometimes have a vision, but I can't always say your hand needs to be here, your leg needs to be here, this is what you should be wearing, this is the angle you need to be. I think sometimes there's either one or the other way, or both give ideas, but it can't just be where one photographer is saying, stand there, do this, do that, wear this, now turn here. Maybe in a professional world and you're paid, that's different.
I think if you're going in as a model who is paying a photographer to, well, not as a non-model, sorry, going in to pay a photographer to take photos of them because it's quite a nice experience that you want to do, then by all means, the photographer is likely to be kind of, to a degree, trained and educated in directing models.
Yes.
Whereas as a freelance model and as a freelance photographer, I feel like it's both of our professional duties to understand the basics of the role that we are executing in our arrangement.
Yeah.
You know, as a model, it's important that, it's as vain as it sounds, it's important that we take our selfies and we spend time in front of the mirror and we know what our face is doing. And I also think that pre-shoot communications are so important for that dynamic on set.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a photographer and a model need to feel comfortable with each other for a model to say, you know, I'm going to put a mirror behind you while you've got your camera going so I can see what I'm doing.
Mm.
Or for a photographer to say, you know what, I love the ideas that you've got, but can we try a different outfit, or can we try some slightly more varied poses, because that's how you expand on your creative ideas.
Hmm.
I think the line gets crossed again when you haven't had that full communication with a person before the shoot happens. You don't know how that person is naturally going to talk. You wouldn't understand their humour. Again, we very rarely know who we're working with before we're on set. So if we're not talking to one another beforehand, it's easy for instructions to get misconstrued. And I think that's why, again, going back to the model safety group, it's so important that we have these resources at our fingertips to say, I had this experience, I'm not sure how I feel about this experience.
Hmm.
Can we verify, you know, a wider perspective?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that's really important, because I know I had a strange experience with a photographer. I was shooting a topless image covered up so that it was more of an implied, but he then made a comment about being shocked that he wasn't aroused. And at the time, I sort of laughed it off. And it was only when I was talking to a couple of other photographers and mentioned it that they said, no, hang on a minute, Emily. That's not an acceptable thing to say to someone.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've definitely picked up on is that happens like so often, like offhand comments that are sort of like, they are sexualizing, they are uncomfortable, but we don't often give them credit because they're so normalized and because you don't want to make a fuss.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's like if a photographer calls you sexy or refers to like your breasts or your legs in a particularly lewd way, and if it's just once, or if it's just offhand, you tend to brush it off. But like, that's a huge red flag that they're probably doing it to other women. They're doing it to other models, and they're going to probably get worse in the future if they're not checked at the start. And I think it's definitely those micro sexualizations that are a problem, and we should be picking up on them more often and not be afraid to cause a fuss or overreact.
I agree. And
yeah.
I also feel that there are certain red flags that you may spot as a model that while you're on set, you're thinking, I just want to get through this shoot. I want to get the images done. I want to be as professional as I can. Like, I had a photographer tell me, your job right now is to arouse me.
Oh, God.
right? And that to me immediately said, this person isn't working on these images because this is a profession that he's going to share these images and, you know, hopefully attain recognition or something from them. He's taking these images for his own gratification, and that is not what I agreed to do, you know. And I think it's that's an important thing to mention, is there are people and photographers who will happily say that they only shoot for private collection. And it is up to that model, upon receiving that request, to decide whether or not she's comfortable with the idea of somebody keeping her image for private collection.
Yeah.
That's a conversation that is had and consented to. But to speak to a model while she's on set, that in a way that gives the impression that actually you've not been entirely straightforward with your intention for the images, is something for me that makes it incredibly easy to even just like relax my face in an image, because that will stick with me while I'm working, you know. In the back of my mind I'm thinking, what's he going to ask me to do next?
Yeah,
it's quite clear to see in a photo when someone's uncomfortable as well.
Oh, absolutely. I think every model has that one like little screenshot zoomed in of her face that she's shown her friends to go, this is how my shoot went.
Yeah.
And it's that horrifying photo where she looks terrified. There's just fear in her eyes.
If you go through the page often enough, sometimes you can scroll through photos and you just know that that was a situation where the photographer said something.
Yeah.
The model's face is just, she's gone absolutely wooden and the face is just so uncomfortable. And it's just,
oh. Do you not think it's mad that that isn't something that they would address and shoot? As a photographer, you're obviously constantly looking at and assessing the model that you're working with. And in order to be able to work efficiently, you can't recognize that there's clearly a problem and not solve that solution, or worse, get frustrated with the model for not being able to think of a solution to the problem. It comes down to communication massively, and also I think having chaperones, a witness to the scenario, to give a third party context that isn't necessarily emotionally involved.
I think definitely with chaperones, like, I mean, I'm 19 and I know models older than me always take chaperones, because it doesn't matter, like, it doesn't, having a chaperone doesn't mean that you can't look after yourself, it doesn't mean you can't defend yourself, it just means that you don't have to. It's just so you know that you're not going to feel uncomfortable. So I mean, even if you have a chaperone, you can probably defend your honour just as well, but it means that you're probably less likely to have to.
I agree. Yeah. And I think the chaperone system is a wonderful way of quite quickly weeding out a person that doesn't actually intend on being a legitimate photographer. When you have your pre-shoot communications and you say to them, by the way, I'm going to bring a chaperone, is that okay? Anything other than I encourage a chaperone, that's no problem in my mind. Anything other than that response is an incorrect response.
Oh, yeah. If someone ever like discourages me taking a chaperone, that's it. I'm just drop communications.
Yeah.
Like, that is just, there's no reason you'd ever say to someone, don't bring a chaperone, other than if you're planning something other than a photo shoot.
Well, there was on the model safety page recently, there was quite a lot of heat about a post about this gentleman on Facebook. His Facebook profile was posted, and he was going by a false name and luring girls out into secluded areas in the woods and things like that for bondage photo shoots. And you think, I think quite a few people mentioned that, you know, he was against using chaperones quite from the beginning, but would reassure them with other means of communication that, oh, here we go, I found the post. James Hargreaves was the name that he was going by.
Ah, yes.
Yes. And he was luring girls out to do bondage photo shoots and tying them up and then, you know, horribly abusing these girls, unfortunately. And I think, please somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe a girl got sexually assaulted by him or something. But, you know, this is something that hasn't been reported in the news, but we're aware of it working within our community because we're lucky enough to have the wherewithal about us to be part of this group and keep our eyes out while we're actively working in these environments.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that shows as well, there's been a lot of, on that post, I think it was that same one actually, there was a few men specifically who were commenting on it saying, well, why haven't you gone to the police? I don't believe you because you haven't gone to the police. And I mean, sort of all women together understand why a lot of victims of sexual violence don't go to the police.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons, including police don't listen, justice system doesn't listen, or it takes time and effort and so much struggle to get anything like that through court.
And the pressure that is put on the victim by the Criminal Prosecution Service to say, when they say to the victim, you're gonna have to defend yourself in court because everybody is going to think you're lying.
It's so horrific, and yet people are taking, like, the fact that people haven't reported, the fact that models haven't reported things like this to the police, to mean that the model is lying. And it's just awful. I mean, there's, yeah, I think there needs to be more spoken out about that, because I mean, the justice system is not, it's not overly acclaimed being on the side of victims of sexual violence particularly. And I think we just need to bring that more into the mainstream rather than just letting victims of sexual violence know that secretly, because it is a huge reason why things like this don't go to the police, and why these sites particularly and these Facebook groups are so important. This is the only way of spreading information between vulnerable models about sexual attackers and predatory photographers.
Yeah, good point, Beth. Yeah. Well, I mean,
asterisks and inverted quotations.
I mean, as a male photographer, this is all horrific. And for me, hearing all this, and obviously when you and Emily first put about what happened, you know, there was loads of us commenting, weren't there, that new year. And, you know, I'm all for anything that helps, anything that gives you support. And I don't care if you're male or female, because it can be either way around.
Absolutely,
Yeah, I was talking to a male model at a photo shoot yesterday. Mm-hmm. He was actually telling me that he got to a shoot with a female photographer I believe she wanted to do a BDSM style shoot. And once ropes were near him, she started making a lot of sexual comments about how she could do anything she wanted now. Mm. And saying that he had been flirting with her via text when he's just a naturally very chatty person. So it is important to remember it's the other way around. But I think the massive thing is there is always a big power balance or power imbalance between model and photographer.
Definitely, yeah. I think there's that kind of, I think that's something that gets assumed a lot. As soon as the photographer no longer sees the model as a professional person working in their capacity in their job role, then they start seeing someone who's in a submissive role towards them who's behind the camera. It's sort of like that vulnerability of having the model on camera and in front of them that kind of it drives that power imbalance.
Go on, Alex. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say I agree with both of you ladies, and I think as a positive reflection of these horrible stories, I think the Facebook group and the Purple Port and other websites that we're all part of do a fantastic job of reflecting the fact that the topic that we're talking about right now isn't a matter of boy versus girl. It's not a battle of the sexes.
No.
It's not she said, he said. It's a matter of, you know, both males and females acting in a predatory way in an environment that they've acknowledged to have vulnerabilities, and unfortunately that is, you know, a freelance environment, because as we mentioned earlier, none of us are protected by larger companies that are insured against negligence or are insured against, you know, a model or a photographer being assaulted in the workplace, because we're working off our own backs, you know.
Yeah, it's not that we can go to HR, is it?
Exactly. And I think that's what's so important about our discussions in the comments section, and even on Purpleport there are lots of big posts and discussions about it. It's that it's we're all equally taking pride in our profession and standing up for what is sort of recognized in our community as morally correct. You know, we're not against one another because we do different things, one's behind the camera and one's not. We're not against each other because one's male or one's female. The only time that anyone in our community goes against each other is when somebody is being hurt by another person. And I think that's a very valuable thing that we should promote, is that by having these communities and our online experiences and sharing our experiences, we're educating each other and hopefully a wider society in a way that kind of shows we can communicate and understand a common good without it having to be based on our personal beliefs or our gender or anything like that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think one of the fantastic things about, I mean, there's like a lot of fantastic things about these sites, but I think one of them must be that it's like, that is our support network. That is where, like, in the comments, when one person comes forward about an attack or something like this, then the comments are supporting them and they're showing that support that they might not get otherwise. And I think as well, when I had an issue with a photographer who was very unprofessional, who made me feel uncomfortable, and as we found out later, a lot of other models, I didn't go to the police, even though I could legally have done and press charges. But the most effective thing that I could have done, which I did in the end, was to share exactly what happened with all the screenshots on all the sites, all the photography and modelling sites on Facebook, so that it would spread the word and everyone knew who he was, what he did, and the evidence was there to show them. And I think that's possibly the most effective thing I could have done. And it really shows the power of these groups and these communities, because, I mean, it's like Alex says, it's not like photographer versus model or male versus female.
Yeah.
It's the community, the photography community, against these people who come into it for other reasons, or these people who come into it and think that they can abuse it in whatever way gets the rocks off.
One thing I found quite good almost about that situation was actually that a lot of photographers and models came together at that point. I was speaking to another photographer that I've shot with a lot, who was utterly shocked to hear it, that he got all the screenshots, spoke to a lot of people involved. He actually called out the bad photographer, told him that he will not be associated with him anymore. And it was just quite good to see a photographer taking a stand and saying, you know, as a photographer, we have to stand up for our models and make sure that they are not being treated badly and exploited.
Yeah, exactly. It was really fantastic seeing the response. And it does just show that it is the community really looking out for each other. And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. And I think the lesson for anyone who's probably starting is to probably not do it until you go hang out with people, get to know some models, you know, even if it's not a mentor as such, but you use that experience of other people. And the same with photographers, isn't it? You know, go to a session with another model and photographer, like you did with us, Beth. It gets you to know us. And I'm really sorry of what happened to you. As you know, I'd never experienced anything like that. And if I'd have known about that, maybe I would have warned Emily about it as well, because a few photographers didn't know about that person before it. And they said, well, I thought you knew Andy before you went. And it's like, well, why didn't you ask?
Yeah.
You know, because
one of the things that has been good for me in keeping me safe is the fact that I started by going to a lot of big group photo shoots.
Yes.
So there were lots of photographers and models, and it meant that even if people that were there would have the potential to be dodgy alone, there was no way they were going to get away with anything surrounded by so many people. And it meant I built up a little community so that when someone messaged me asking me to shoot with them, I could just get my phone out, send a quick message. Have you heard of this person? What are the reviews like? And make an educated decision on whether or not to go on with that photo shoot.
Like, that's one of the amazing things about Purple Port is the references that you can read on the bottom of a photographer's profile. And honestly, that is fantastic. I love that feature. It's my favourite feature on Purple Port. Yeah. As soon as I get a message from a photographer, I'm straight down to the references. And it is fantastic.
Going back to what Emily and Beth were saying about camera clubs and group chat, group photo shoots, something I found recently with the experience that my friend Ruth and I had with the photographer that we posted about on Model Resources was that when I went back after the shoot and I looked back through his reviews, which I hadn't done beforehand, I realized that almost all of his reviews were from camera clubs or studios. And I realized that no reviews had been left by individual models. And that was a red flag that I think, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I felt it was really important to bring up, is that, as you said, Beth, the references and the reviews section is such an important feature to have, because in hindsight, had I double-checked the references on this bloke, I would have said to my friend Ruth, actually, no, I'm a little bit concerned that there's no standalone person that has worked with him one-on-one to say this is how he behaves on his own. All of the references were about him in public scenarios where he had no opportunity to behave incorrectly. Both Emily and Beth, you know, very, very much grazed on that, and I sat here itching, waiting to mention that it's very important that models starting out are looking for the right sort of flags in the references and the review section. So all of these girls that are doing the right things and building up their communities and texting their friends to double check photographers, they also should be aware of very little things that are, you know, I've only learned through 7 years of doing it. And those are the little things that you would question about perhaps a Tinder date. You know, how does this person interact one-on-one? How does this person interact around large groups of people? If either of those answers, you know, leave you feeling unsettled, then perhaps you shouldn't go ahead with the photo shoot, because it's always better to play it safe and maybe rebook at a later time when you're more confident than take that risk and walk away, you know, potentially regretting it.
Yeah. I think
one thing as well I would say was I always read about I think it's on Purple Port, on the model safety guide, it always says trust your gut. So if something doesn't feel right, walk away. And as someone who's, I've never known how to trust my gut. I don't know what it feels like or when I should take a red flag. But when I did go on a shoot with the photographer that I ended up making the post about, who did turn out to be very dodgy, I'd already been on one shoot with him, with a friend, with another model, and it was my first shoot that I'd ever done. And I'd started to get a few red flags, and she had as well. And I went on a second shoot with him by myself. And as soon as I was with him, that was when I noticed what a bad gut feeling feels like. Like, I was just, I don't know, it felt like my hackles were raising. I felt uncomfortable. I just felt like something awful was going to happen. And I could not wait to get home. And I was just, it just felt wrong and horrible. And it made me feel uncomfortable. And I was very new to modeling. So I didn't want to just leave or feel rude or I didn't want to feel rude, I think. But that's something that we should definitely be telling models not to bother with. Like, obviously, be polite to people, but if you feel uncomfortable, like, all of those kind of polite and pleasantries go out the window. If you feel uncomfortable, don't be afraid to be rude. Just leave. Just make any excuse to leave if you don't feel comfortable. Like, you shouldn't be afraid to feel rude in that situation. And I think that's something that definitely came out of it. And yeah, the trusting your gut thing, I think if it comes to that, then you're already a little bit far down the road. I think the red flags is what you need to look for. If something shines up, like if a photographer says, don't bring a chaperone, or if they make remarks about you that are sexual or just make you feel uncomfortable, rub you off the wrong way, then just keep an eye out for those red flags or any red flags that you think are just slightly weird and put you off a little bit. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable and if you start to notice that, then just make an excuse and leave and don't worry about being rude, because, I mean, at the end of the day, that's not really a reason to put up with that.
I think that's a really important point. Like, you're not being rude, you're protecting yourself.
Mm.
And another red flag to keep an eye out for, you know, while we're running down the list of ways to protect yourself as a new model, being a part of these communities gives you an opportunity to recognize images. And if a photographer isn't legit and he's using somebody else's images, it becomes a lot easier to notice that that image is being reused. And if you have a good community of photographers and models, 9 times out of 10 you'll know the person who knows the person that took that photo. And that's a really important thing, is to double check the photographer's images while you're talking to them, and really look at the images and think to yourself, is this how I want to be portrayed? Like, yes, some images may be a bit dodgy because they're new to photography, but if there is a running theme in somebody's images on their portfolio that makes you sit there and think, well, actually, maybe it's a little bit too, you know, open leggy, or I don't particularly like that there's a running theme of women in overtly sexual images, or I'm uncomfortable about the sexy latex, because latex can be done in a sophisticated way. You know, there are things that when you look at an image, and if you feel uncomfortable looking at that image, perhaps you shouldn't work with that photographer, because they may just not be for you. And you know, if that person isn't for you, that could potentially create a situation in which you're both made to feel bad walking away from that photo shoot, and bad about the person and their profession. Because at the end of the day, even though we are all at work, essentially, there's always going to be a coworker you don't get along with. But we have, you know, the quite nice ability to be able to double check these things, so we know what we're going to be looking for and we know what we're going to be walking into.
I think you're definitely right about the idea of checking images. I've never thought to check if images are copied, but I do, especially on Purpleport, where you can easily just click on someone and check their portfolio. I do check what style of images they usually take, and obviously if they've sent me a message, they can see what style of images I'm usually in. And if there's quite a clear discrepancy, so if a lot of mine are just mostly fashion, some action or fitness shots, but it's very sort of like my levels go up to swimmer and that's it, and it's not sexual, But if I look across and check the photographer's portfolio, and they've got 50 images on there, and they're all of women in lingerie or sexy poses and that, then, I mean, that's kind of a red flag, because clearly they've looked at my portfolio, seen everything that I do and thought, right, she does nothing that I usually do, but I'm still going to send her a message. I mean, it kind of, at the very least, it's like looking for a plumber, seeing a woodsman and thinking, right, that'll do. From a professional capacity, it doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, I always take that to be a red flag as well. So, if someone does send me a message like that, and I've looked across and they've mostly got like lingerie or something, then I'll usually ask them, like, are you new to fashion or are you new to changing levels? And I'll ask for a second portfolio. But I mean, it's just things like that. It's kind of like, I'd say more than anything, it's a bit of common sense. I think, speaking as a woman, I don't know about men. Of course, it does happen to men. But speaking as a woman, I think, sadly enough, we're taught a lot of these red flags to notice from quite an early age. So I think it's a lot of bringing that back into practice. And obviously, I think for the most part, men aren't kind of, that isn't kind of embedded in them from a young age. Like, I don't know many men who are told, don't go out at night unless you've got your keys between your fingers. I mean, but I think, like, yeah, there's a lot of sort of common sense red flags that, particularly for women, I think will notice and will pick up on it being a bit dodgy. I think for men, I think especially male models will notice a lot of their own red flags, because obviously when you've been in the industry long enough, you'll start to recognise when things are a bit off. But I think a lot of it comes from talking to other models, getting your own experience, and just, yeah, I think a lot of it does come from a bit of common sense and trusting your own instincts, I suppose, and not giving people allowance, especially. I think any models, male, female, if they're talking to photographers, they shouldn't give them allowance for specific things. So when I had that issue with the photographer that I reported and posted about, I pulled him up on several things when he made me feel uncomfortable. I told him explicitly, you're making me uncomfortable. This isn't appropriate for a professional working relationship. And he turned around and said, you're very young, you don't understand. You've misunderstood me. Or, I'm from a different generation. I'm sorry, I don't know how to talk to young people these days. And as I spoke to other people on the comments of this post, everyone was saying, oh, I thought he was just some old doddery. I thought he was just quite a sweet old man. Mm-hmm. And I realised quick enough that that's the card he'd been playing, and people had been giving him allowances for that. They were letting him say these suggestive things that make them feel uncomfortable because he's a sweet old doddery man. And that's something we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be giving people allowances, especially when they're saying stuff that's making them feel uncomfortable. I think we should be holding people to account. And, yeah, that's what the community does well, I think. I think especially when photographers, proper photographers, our models band together and hold someone to account, then that's when you get something seen through, something positive from it.
I agree with you on that. Going back to what you were saying earlier about, being able to read each other's professional levels from their portfolio, you know, by looking through the images. One of my favourite features on Purpleport is that when you register your account, you register your professional levels as well. Mm-hmm. You put in your information and in your bio what you are willing to work to on a professional level. And I think as models and photographers and as professionals, we should all take that at face value. You know, one of my big pet peeves is when someone asks me for something that is very clearly not stated anywhere on my bio, or more frustratingly, specifically mentioned as something I don't do. Like, and they ask, oh, but would you be willing to do it for this amount, or would you be willing to do it for that? And you go, no, please, as a human being, just take it as what you've read. It says no. There's the lack of consent right there. You know, I think if you're working with a photographer and a model, and either of those people want to push the levels of that shoot further, then that should be a discussion. You know, it shouldn't be
price tag.
Would you be willing to do it for this, but can I entice you this way because I want to do it? It's I thought perhaps we could do this, and it could be an implied shoot, and the model could go, that's a really good idea, but I don't feel comfortable with it. You know, there are ways about of going about it. And again, it goes back to having a community and having people that you work with regularly to be able to understand kind of how to work with those people. Like, it's really important that we all band together, as you said, so that things get done. Like the photographer that I posted about, so Purpleport has this function where if you're leaving somebody a negative review, it doesn't allow you to leave a comment with it. So Ruth and I, when we left our review of him, we left a positive review with a comment, which was the full reference of what had happened to us. And this photographer had read the review on his profile, and he'd immediately texted me, and he said, you know, I've just read your review. I felt that I was nothing but courteous to you throughout the entire shoot. And my quietly enraged response was to send him a full list of courtesies that he could have shown us, as opposed to the heinous things that he tried to do, like showing us videos of him having sex with other models that he'd worked with previously, and accidentally leaving photos open of his penis and things like that.
Imagine doing that in an office, though.
Yeah.
Accidentally leaving pictures of your penis around the I mean, if it's not something you do at any other workplace, why would you do it here?
Exactly. And like, obviously there are photo shoots that are, you know, fetish or sexual nature, but again, like, those girls have it plastered all over their portfolios what it is that they do.
Exactly. Yeah, it's clear.
Those girls are so easy to approach. I think it's a big red flag that somebody is looking at a girl who is established and has a very clear theme that she works to or level that she works to, but they still choose to veer away from the massive group of people that are willing to work to their level. Like, that to me says that even the people that are more, you know, sexually open and comfortable are not accepting of this person, and therefore he has to be able to single people out, or they have to be able to single people out.
I think that's a good point, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm disgusted by things like that, because it's like you say, let's say, like, I haven't ever done anything nude, never done anything lingerie, swimwear. I won't do it because I think it's wrong for me. But I've talked about this idea of doing some heavily shadows of the body. Specifically, that Emily was like, we'd just like to show curves. So nearly all of it would be black, and there'd just be slight outline of a curve. So it could be a knee. You wouldn't intentionally know, in essence. But the only reason I would be able to do that is because I've worked with Emily so many times. We're comfortable with each other. And if she said no, I would know no means no, because that's life, isn't it? But again, if that was my niche, I wouldn't have a problem with going up to a model saying, here's my work, this is all I want to do. Are you interested? And, you know, even if it's not something you did, why not just be honest and say, this is what I do? I don't desperately need you. I don't think there's ever an issue with asking. But I think, like you say, the purple pot thing's a little bit different because it's quite clear what you do. But say on other mediums there isn't. So for instance, I don't use purple part. I don't do enough portraiture. I don't want to do more portraiture. it's a great hobby. I love working with people, and hopefully both people get something great out of it. But to see the issues, obviously, that Beth and Emily had, was it's took me back a little bit and thought, maybe I should stop doing it, because I'm that typical middle-aged white man who's married, and it's always people like me that are these type case, aren't they? It's just how it is. And I don't think you can get away with that. And it's really strange that when I was talking to Emily on the day when this was all happening, I said to her off the cuff, just, you know, I said, you have to be careful at my age and where I am in life of, you know, stupid comments you could say. Now, because me and Emily can have a laugh with each other, everything seems fine. But I do hope if I ever said anything stupid, she would tell me as well. And I think, it, like you say, ladies, that it would be reported back to each other, and then you would know, oh, this person's gone a bit too far.
I was just going to say, I think that's a fantastic insight that you've given, is that, you know, you said you worry that you might have said something that would have offended Emily, but you hope that she would say something because of your rapport with one another.
Yeah.
That is a really important thing for girls that are worried that they will come across as rude if they tell someone that they don't appreciate being spoken to in a certain way.
Mm.
If you're a legitimate photographer or model or whatever that is working in this business, you respect that person for what they do as much as you hope to be respected yourself.
Yeah.
So you know that Emily would speak to you because she wouldn't feel uncomfortable addressing it with you for fear of being rude, because you have that rapport and you've never given her a reason to feel unsafe with addressing certain things with you.
Yeah.
If a person makes you feel unsafe to address a problem, then that's a big red flag.
Mm. I think you're right. I think that's something that I hadn't considered before. I think, I think a lot of photographers must be worried, or I know a lot of photographers are worried about one day accidentally saying the wrong thing. And I think that's definitely why a lot of the comments on the post were about photographers saying not all photographers are the same. But I think, what I'd say to photographers is, we know you're not all the same. we want to take these people out of the community because they're not professional. They're not working. They're not, I don't know, trying to think how to put it. They're not working like you are. They're not showing you in the light that you should be shown. They're kind of dragging down, they're trying to drag down photographers with them. Usually so that they're taken down as one of a crowd rather than individually. But we know that it's just them, it's not all photographers. And what I'd probably say to models is that you absolutely should feel, I think it is a confidence thing, it's a worry thing, because women aren't really told to call men out or call photographers or people in power out for the things they say that make us uncomfortable. But you should, because more than anything, if it's someone who genuinely has made a mistake and did not mean it, because yes, of course, times have changed, and people of different generations may used to have been able to say things that they can't now. And it's a case of educating each other, because we do as much as we can to educate ourselves. I mean, with the recent Black Lives Matter protests, everyone is taking it on themselves to read up on literature and educate themselves on the Black Lives Matter movement and what they should be doing at the minute against racism. And I think the same goes for any kind of generational thing. So if photographers of an older generation are worried about saying things that may be offensive now, then it's a case of them educating themselves and of models educating them and photographers educating each other. Like, it is a community, and we do need to come together and say that, oh, okay, you've said this, I can tell that it was a mistake because you've been very apologetic about it, but just in future don't use this again because it can be uncomfortable or offensive. And I think it's as simple as that. It's just a case of being frank with each other. And just, it is absolutely about educating. I told all this to the photographer that I posted about a completely different matter, because this is going to completely sidestep from the topic, but the main thing that's the reason in the end that I reported him and spoke out was because I found out that he'd sent a message to Emily, who me and Emily had been planning a couple shoot together, and he'd sent her a private message warning her that I was bisexual. And it was that pushed me to make the post, because, I mean, that's something as well that I suppose people don't consider is a safety issue, because, I mean, I'm in a very safe household. My parents are both, I'm open about it. My parents are both fine with it, and I'm in a safe and secure position. But a lot of people aren't. And I mean, especially during lockdown, I mean, there are friends of mine who've been kicked out of the house before. I've got friends who live in supported living because their parents kicked them out of the house when they were 13 because they found out that they were gay or bisexual or trans. And it can be dangerous. And people don't appreciate how dangerous it is to out someone. And especially to warn another model not to work with me because of my sexuality. And of course, Emily sent me a message straight away, told me everything that he'd said. And I think that definitely shows like the effect of the community, because if I hadn't have known that, then I probably would have never posted about him. Because I just let it slide because I hadn't held him accountable. And I think that was really important to have that kind of connection between models, that she felt comfortable enough to tell me, and she felt that it was her duty to tell me about it. Because absolutely, I mean, yeah, what he did was, I mean, he made me feel very uncomfortable with sexual comments, but what he did by outing me to someone is incredibly dangerous, because if I hadn't been in a safe situation, if I hadn't been open with my family, then that could have put me in a very dangerous and difficult position. And when my parents found out, they were absolutely furious with him. It was actually all I could do to make them not go to the police or to his door. But yeah, I think, yeah, if I was in a less secure position, that could have been a very dangerous thing to do. If Emily hadn't been the person that she is, then that could have put me in a very difficult position. It could have made my life very difficult. It could have made it very dangerous. And I think that's something that we definitely need to consider, is that you're working with people who, yes, we're in a professional capacity, and just as in the workplace, there are protected characteristics, and that includes race, gender, sexuality, and among, I think it's 9 or 12 other things. But like a workplace, you need to respect that, and there are laws in place that will hold you accountable to respect that. And under there does come gender. I think it is really important to make sure that you are treating people as they should be treated. And yeah, I mean, it should go without saying, don't contact other colleagues that you work with and warn them not to work with someone because of their sexuality.
Don't whistleblow.
And I mean, would you really have warned her if she was going to work with a man, watch out, this guy's straight?
No.
I mean,
with regard to what you said about, you know, this photographer has reached out to another model and warned her against you, again, going back to the idea that we're all working in a professional capacity, and as you said, there are laws that protect certain characteristics. There are also laws within a professional workplace that, you know, prevent, as I said, don't whistleblow. That guy was essentially whistleblowing to Emily that he had an issue with you and therefore she shouldn't work with you, when the reality is, because of the community that we've built as models and photographers, he could have gone about that in a much more professional manner. He could have found first, you know, he could have spoken to people first and said, look, I had a really bad experience with this model and I work with another model that's due to work with her, but I'm concerned because of my experience. Mm. Instead of doing that and finding out more about you, he went straight to an immediate source that was directly connected to you. And it happened with me and Ruth as well. When we put up our big post, another girl was getting ready to book a photo shoot with the photographer that we'd posted about, and because of the review that we'd left on his Purpleport account, his email address has permanently been blocked from the website. Thank God. So he contacted her on a different platform, and when she asked him why his portfolio had been blocked, he said that Ruth and I had misunderstood the nature of the photo shoot.
Oh.
Was hilarious, given that he'd responded to our casting call. and it's, again, that, you know, that I would feel it comes under whistleblowing, because he's had a direct issue with us. He's trying to protect the future of his interests with working with other girls by essentially discrediting us to these other girls. That's what this gentleman did to you. He discredited you to Emily, assuming that Emily hadn't had, you know, any prior knowledge of you.
I think you've definitely touched on the bit about I've heard even outside of modelling and photography, there is that pattern of the guilt shifting onto the victim when they say, oh, they misunderstood me.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. I despise it. I hate it. If a photographer has genuinely said something that has been taken to offence, and they absolutely did not mean it to be taken that way, they'd said something and they genuinely weren't trying to give that impression, then the first thing they say in response wouldn't be, oh, you misunderstood me. It would be a profuse apology.
Yeah, I agree with you there completely. Somebody with pure intentions doesn't have any need to justify themselves, you know? Like, if you're wrong, then you admit, okay, I was wrong, I apologize. And at the end of the day, like, apologizing for making somebody feel a certain way is something that we all have to do in life, and it shouldn't be any different within our professional capacity, just because, as we mentioned earlier, we aren't governed by a HR department.
I agree. I think what we need to do is to finish up and just give a reminder of the steps we need to do and some of the things we need to look out for. So there's been a couple of recent articles that I came across, and one of these was horrific. I mean, he was a predator, groomer, whatever you want to call him. He was actually jailed for raping multiple models by luring him to a set and then obviously doing things with him. Thank God he's in prison. There's been examples of a couple who pretended to be photographers to look at people's babies and then steal one. Now, I appreciate the topic of this was models, but again, it's all to do with photographers and models, so it's just something to bear in mind.
I think one thing I would say there was, it's really horrible, these absolutely extreme cases. I think one of the things that we should especially take is, not always is it going to be that extreme, and that's why it can be so hard to spot. So I think especially one of the reasons we need to deal with like microaggressions, for want of a better word, when a photographer makes lewd comments or makes you feel uncomfortable or asks to go above levels, is a red flag that if you don't tell the photographer that's made you feel uncomfortable, that's inappropriate, that's unprofessional, then that could keep climbing and get worse and worse. And I think that's where we get extreme cases from, is because they've never been checked. They've never had someone shut them right down or talk to the community and make sure the community knew what was going on. Yeah. They've gone unchecked because people aren't talking to each other, and it just gets worse and worse. And you get these absolutely extreme cases, which are just horrific.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex, do you want to butt in with your red flags and advice?
My red flags and advice as a list would be the number one advice is to, you know, always make sure that you have a chaperone or somebody within a reasonable distance to you that you feel comfortable should worst case scenario happen. And if a photographer isn't comfortable with a chaperone, then just don't work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is really just my best advice is to be involved in the community, because we are all in it for the same reason, and we're building this community and we're having these discussions for the sake of all of us have had an experience where we've gone to sleep at night and thought, oh God, what about the next girl that works with that person or the next boy that works with that person? Mm-hmm. And that's why we're speaking out, because we want to protect each other, and you know, no bad feeling about an experience is incorrect. A red flag to look out for with photographers is or models is a lack of communication. If they aren't very good on communication, and you know, the messages that you're receiving aren't kind of what you would expect in a professional capacity, then either call that person out and say to them, look, I want a little bit more from you before we go into this photo shoot, so I know 100% that we're going to gel. And if that conversation doesn't go, okay, I completely understand, I'm really sorry, this is what I've actually meant, I just had a lot on my plate today, then perhaps again that photographer may or model may not be for you. Another red flag or a piece of advice is to always check references, go through the images, and yeah, just be willing to engage and listen to the people around you, because I think it's really important that we all acknowledge the responsibility to look out for each other as we would hope that somebody else would look out for us.
I think, yeah, I think that's so important, because I noticed there was a few people who commented on the post I made about the photographer who kind of dug their heels in a bit. So I got a few who sent me messages saying or commented saying, these screenshots don't look too bad, I don't see the problem. Actually, there was one that broke my heart. There was a mum who commented on the post of, I think it was a 14-year-old daughter who had worked with that photographer in the past. And she said, I've never had any problem with him, and I'll encourage my daughter to keep working with him. And I just, it absolutely broke my heart for the poor daughter who wants to go to her mum in future about something like this. I mean, yeah, it's a community. You need to listen to the community. That's what's so important. And I think there's another thing I've noticed in a few sort of photographers that I've, or especially at that one, was he boasted about having been kicked off several modeling Facebook groups. And I mean, first of all, why is that something to be proud of?
Yeah.
And he was talking about all. He was naming to me all the photographers and models he'd rubbed up the wrong way or who he'd fallen out with. And I mean, why should that be a boast? And why has he rubbed people up the wrong way should be what you're asking. And I've noted it in a few photographers who have talked about pages they've been thrown off. And I mean, you should be asking, the first question you should be asking is why? I mean, yeah, that's a red flag that I didn't appreciate, but you definitely should look into in future.
Yeah. I think that's a really important point. As we've all said throughout this, we are a community, and the community is here for that exact reason, so that people can be checked and double check certain aspects of other people. And again, it goes back to trusting your gut, doesn't it? If somebody is saying something to you that is making you think, well, actually, I don't trust this, I don't feel great, then trust that feeling, trust the discomfort, because it, as I said earlier, it's better to be safe than sorry. And things can always be rearranged for a later date. We all have weird days where we speak in a funny tone, but if somebody's intentions aren't legitimate, then that funny day won't ever go away, you know?
Yeah, I think as well, I'd say is that kind of, I think especially for the photographer that I called out, there was a lot of people who, obviously like I said, he had this kind of character where he's come off as the sweet old man. And I think a lot of people, because of that, felt sorry for him. And I think a lot of people do take the, do start to empathise with the person who's being called out, or they feel sorry for them because they're not being given a side to talk from, they're not being given their side to defend. And I think what I'd remind people is if you're thinking about that person, that photographer at home at night, feeling sorry for themselves, think about the models at home who are worried to go to the next shoot, or who are worried to talk to people in that capacity, who are looking at their photos and thinking, what did I do that let this, that gave this person the impression to do this to me and say these things to me? And yeah, I think if you're empathizing with the person who's being called out and you're worried about them at home feeling sorry for themselves, definitely if you can empathize with them, I'm sure you can empathize with the model or the victim of the situation who is at home feeling just as bad and hasn't done anything wrong.
I think that's a really valid point to make about protecting yourself as a professional, is that, you know, you may empathize with the person that's being called out, but in this professional scenario, there is proof in the pudding, and the person that is calling out, the person that is naming and shaming, has sat in their own space and they've looked through those images and they've looked through those images and they can see the moments exactly frozen in time in which things were said or done that have made them feel horrible in themselves. And I think it's really important that people are aware that when we're experiencing these horrible things, they don't just go away when we shut the door, because we get sent the proof afterwards. And if you're a photographer that's been, you know, harassed by a model, you have to go through that reel of film afterwards and then send it to the model.
I agree. Another thing you could suggest, so let's say you're working with a photographer who maybe hasn't got any experience, another thing I would suggest is he comes with someone who's more experienced.
That's a very good suggestion. Yeah. Camera club is amazing.
Yes, exactly. Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, as Beth and Emily know, generally when we do shoots, there's at least 2, 3, 4 of us. We do it because we're all friends. I think it's the best way forward. There's mutual people. There's usually, it's more of like a chaperone thing. I love chaperones. I'm always talking to models, mums and stuff. And next thing, they're holding a light or they're doing behind the scenes.
Well,
yeah, it all adds to the fun because we're people. We shouldn't worry about who's a model, who's a photographer. We've got people that can work both sides.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not me. I'm not busy enough.
I've seen you model in one of Jay's photos.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Just quickly to touch on something that you just said, you know, we do have people that can work both sides. That is something that I'm sure a lot of models who are also photographers can say is one of the funniest things that will happen to them in their modeling career, is being spoken to by a photographer who's assumed that she's just there to stand and look pretty and has absolutely no idea what they are doing with that camera. Like, a lot of us do have a working knowledge of what's happening behind the camera as well as in front of it, you know. And I think it's important that we all respect each other and don't necessarily assume that just because one person is there for that role, that's all they can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're working with photographers for that long, you're going to start picking up on bits. And I mean, photographers chat more than anyone I know. So, I mean, I usually leave a photo shoot knowing a few more things about lighting that I never knew before. Mm. And I mean, yeah, there are some photographers who do take it upon themselves to mansplain photography to models who also photograph. I think, yeah, for the most part, especially for TFP shoots, when I've been with photographers who are trying out new tricks with lighting, especially, I think it's just a photographer thing. They just get giddy with excitement and just start chatting away about this new lighting that they've got, and it's fantastic. So, I mean, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You can't be a model for any length of time without knowing at least the bare basics about photography.
Yeah.
I think isn't that one of the most beautiful parts of this job, though, is watching as a model or a photographer, watching the other person get so excited about what they're about to work on that they can't help but explain their thought process in what they're doing. One of my favourite parts of being a model is standing and working with a photographer on a concept. And I once worked with a photographer who wanted to work with like corn syrup and food colouring. Uh-huh. And we did a cake smash shoot, and it was amazing. And we both got so excited, like mixing the food colouring in with the corn syrup. And I was covered in it by the end. But it turned out to be one of my absolute best shoots, because we both rolled with the fact that we were loving life and doing something that we enjoy. And in this profession, when we're all loving what we're doing, that's when we get the best results.
I think that's like the biggest thing about photographers, like to photographers and people in the community who aren't here for the fun of it, who are here and they've got they make people feel uncomfortable, they've got ulterior motives. That's the thing, they like, you can tell, because they're not sort of, you don't leave a shoot and you're not both brimming with excitement and looking forward to seeing the images. And you can really tell a real photographer and a real model, because they both love what they're doing. Yeah. And that's it. Like you can talk about it and you can get giddy with excitement, and you can mix corn syrup and food coloring and you're giggling together. And I mean, that's how it should be. That's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And if it's anything less than that, then it's, you know, it's not the fun of the community.
Well, that's it, isn't it? At the root of it, we are all artists in our own respect. And that's what it should be. This should all be about respecting each other's art as well as respecting each other.
Yeah, I agree. So I think we've got through most of the points there. I think the only other extra things to remember are, if you're arranging a shoot, you could make sure you've got it in writing. Make sure you know what subject matter you're doing, maybe your levels sort of thing. Make sure you know where you're going, times, dates, get it all down. Whether you're paid or not, make sure the fee's agreed, how you're getting paid, probably when you're getting paid, and what images are you getting out of it. They're little things that you could add.
I would say my mum always makes me write down the photographer's full name and the phone number if I have it.
Yeah, you should always have that anyway.
That's a very good idea. I think my mum might steal that from your mum.
Even when I'm not living at home, she gets my housemates to do it.
No, that's a really nice thing. Because some people are businesses, so it's quite easy. They could be trading as something else. And I know, Alex won't know, like I say, I don't go on Purple Part. So for maybe someone to do some research on me, it's very easy to do in my case because, you know, I'm a blogger, podcaster. So there's loads of stuff out there. But at the end of the day, Instagram, Facebook, you can soon check out someone's profile to see their passion, their interests. And like you say, ask people. I've always said, when I write off to my guests, I would say if you want to check me out, that's fine. Here's my website. But more importantly, if you want to check out about me, go ask anyone I've ever interviewed. And that's the best thing you can always do. And I leave it up to them.
And here we are.
I know, well, getting excited, you see, because I'm coming up to my 100th show in about 5 weeks. So I want to thank you both for coming on. I want to thank you for your honesty and the fact you haven't come on here to moan about people. You haven't talked about their names and been unprofessional. You've been nothing but professional, ladies.
Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure talking.
Yeah, it has been. I think it shows that we can all be professional, which a few photographers can take from.
Yeah, and you know, I'm
inverted commas.
I'm really sorry that you've both gone through this. You know, as a photographer, I'm ashamed of people, but to me, they're not photographers. So it's about people, and they're just bad.
So, I agree with that sentiment entirely.
We'll do is, for all our listeners, we're going to put links in here to some of these places we've discussed, like the Facebook group, Purple Pot, and obviously anyone who wants to hire these lovely ladies, there'll be links to their profiles as well. So thank you all for joining us. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
It's been great chatting to everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.